David Kerr, you're here to talk about gossip. I was just thinking, earlier on we heard Brenda talking about putting a bra in her fridge in order to scare off and play a joke. Okay, so if I say to you, wait till I tell you, Brenda likes putting her underwear in the fridge, keeps them nice and cool or whatever, okay? And then you say to somebody else, I believe Brenda can't get dressed in the morning unless she's had all her clothes in the fridge for 2 hours or something like that. And then somebody else, and we add to it. That, is that just standard office gossip?
Hey! I said it, yeah.
And if so, what do we do it? Why do we do it? Should we do it? Is it a good or a bad thing?
First of all, congratulations on being able to pronounce the word Angus.
I'm not going to. What word was that?
The G, that phrase? The G-O-S-S-I-P word. Yes, that's the one, exactly. We are social beings. Mm. We were meant to communicate with other people. We were meant to live in communities with other people, however we define those communities. And one of the operative definitions is our work colleagues. There's been a few studies of gossip in the workplace. Some interesting things emerge from it. When it's benign and not malicious, and I think we really need to make that distinction.
And what is the how would you class that actual distinction?
Well,
what's poking fun at somebody? When does it go from being fun to a bit of gas to malicious?
Yeah, well, we have several levels, of course. If you're talking about the birth of some colleague's new baby, their marriage, their 40th wedding anniversary, they've moved house, etc. That's very kind and benign gossip, isn't it? I suppose if we're talking about tragedies that's affected some of our colleagues, benign may not be the right word, mm-hmm. but it's only reasonable to try to sort out the grim realities of life by talking about them with other people. It's malicious when we take people's character away and we take their dignity away, or we deliberately try to paint a portrait of them in a negative way so we can advance our own position in the organization.
So if you're talking about sexuality, looks, age, hair loss, weight, all of those things?
Well, I think even steps beyond that, if you're talking about someone's competence or whether they're doing their job or not. Or you're talking about, did you see so-and-so groping so-and-so at the Christmas party last year? Wonder what's going on there. Hmm. These kinds of things are harmful. And you're right. These stories do get magnified over time. It's like Chinese whispers, you know. It just people add to it and embellish it. We love stories. All of our life is a story. I forget which of the great philosophers it was said life is lived forward and understood backwards.
Wow.
We look back on our life and it becomes a seamless garment and it all makes sense. But whilst we're living it, some of it seems so random and capricious that we don't know why in hell something happened or something didn't happen. There's been some interesting research on the differences between men gossiping and women gossiping. Guess what? Men gossip as much as women.
As much as women?
That's right. There really is.
Are they the same topics?
No. That's where it gets interesting. Male gossip tends to center around, believe it or not now, celebrities, politicians, sports figures, and distant friends.
Okay. I think that's a reasonable
list. Can I give
you
an example of how I'd believe that? If you're ever sitting on an aeroplane or a bus or something, and you have one of these magazines, a Hello or a RSVP or whatever, and you're reading it, and suddenly you can feel a presence over your shoulder. It's always a man who won't actually buy it for the gossip, but actually wants to see what the wag looks like and whatever, and is actually leaning over your shoulder to have a good look. And you feel like saying, here, just go into the shop and buy the thing. Don't be ashamed.
Well, I'm fascinated, David. I'll accept the men gossip. So what do the women gossip about?
They gossip more about very close friends and work colleagues.
And not celebrities to any huge degree?
Well, to the same degree as men.
Hmm.
But, I mean, I think it's interesting that men gossip about celebrities because our stereotype is that men don't gossip about celebrities. But if you think about the amount of time your male friends talk about politicians and sports figures, right? Hmm. Their favorite footballer, et cetera, or their least favorite football manager, you know, on and on it goes, and about politicians and whatnot.
Fascinating. I want to digest all of that. And while I do, Brenda, you went out on the streets of Dublin today
just to get
a sense of...
I did. And just to talk to people about kind of office gossip. When is it harmful? does everybody indulge in it and partake in it? So I was really looking at kind of, you know, gossip in any, not just an office or water cooler. You know, there's chefs in kitchens looking at people eating out there and kind of going, oh, look what she ordered again or whatever. You know, there's gossip everywhere. So just what does gossip mean to them? What kind of things do people talk about? And when is it that, when do they cross the line too far? So start off asking people, what kind of things do they gossip about?
Gossip about other colleagues and who's dating who and what's happening outside of work, and it's harmless, harmless stuff.
Do you ever think it helps in terms of promotion or anything like that?
Yeah, maybe if there's a promotion going on, you try and suss out who's going for it, you know, that sort of way, but it wouldn't help you get up the ladder, not really, no.
Now, sir, you look very busy today. Do you work in a busy environment with lots of people?
I do, yeah. I work across a number of different areas, but yeah, always surrounded by people, all right.
Do you like a gossip?
Sure, of course. You know, I'm Irish and I'd like a gossip. Best way of finding out what's going on in the world.
What do you think of new research that says it's quite healthy in a work environment?
Oh, I think it is. It's like any information. You've got to know where it's coming from. So you've got to know the person that you're hearing it from. If you can judge that it's of some value, then of course it's of some value. I'd be willing to listen to anything, but whether I'd be willing to pass on everything is a whole different matter altogether. I'd be much more open to listening rather than actually sort of passing on gossip.
Well, in my experience, I don't find gossip in the workplace healthy at all because it tends to grow legs and completely go out of context, and it usually causes trouble, so I avoid it.
Are you going on experience?
Yes.
Did someone gossip about you?
Yes. Mm. Yes, and it was, none of it was true, so...
Do you think it affected you in work, or how did it make you feel?
It ruined a lot of friendships, and now I go in, do my job, go home, and avoid all social gatherings in work.
Without obviously giving the details, can you give me an idea of the kind of thing that was said?
Well, it was just something that I had said got blown out of proportion, and somebody told lies, and it grew legs, just basically went way out of control. So yeah, it does. It ruins everything.
It grew legs and grew out of control completely.
Well, there you go.
They're the
and it's misinterpretation of gossip as well. But what's very interesting, I think, is, you know, chatting to a man and his, you know, he loved gossip and he wasn't denying that and it was important. But for him, it was gathering information, whether you decided to pass it on or not pass it on. That was the decision that you made yourself, but it was about gathering information. Whereas I felt with the women, it was just kind of, you know, a genuine interest in how people behave and what they do and who's with who and who's doing what and whatever. There wasn't that underline, what can we get out of this? Now, I don't know if that's a correct distinction, David, but that's what I found in the chat.
Yeah, I would say that we have to be very careful about gender stereotyping, as men being Machiavellian and women being quite benign and just a little bit interested and curious in other people. Women managers are just as capable of being vicious and malicious as male managers. We are all more basically human than otherwise. And I think we need to remember that, you know, when we start talking about the difference between men and women. We're all human beings. We all have the same DNA. Gossip, in terms of the hierarchy of an organization, can serve a very interesting function for newbies, newcomers. It informs them of where the power structure is. Number one. And that's kind of important information, isn't it? You need to know who's in the hierarchy, if there in fact is a hierarchy, and there almost always is. So it's important to know who's the boss, who's the power brokers, etc. That helps you create your boundaries in the workplace. Not to be used in a kind of Machiavellian way to improve your position, although it may, but just to know exactly who you can be more open with and who it's inappropriate to be more open with. In addition to which, for newcomers in any organization, gossiping helps create bonds and friendships amongst colleagues.
So it can be a good thing in the right environment.
In the right environment
the right
and in the right way, it can be a very good thing. However, it's a sad reality in this world that there are wounded individuals out there who are sometimes are filled with fear and extremely low self-esteem and use gossip in a malicious kind of way.
As a way of hurting quietly.
As a way of hurting other people and as a way of keeping the focus off of them.
I love the little story, the two women talking, and one says to the other, tell us more. And the other one says, no, I can't. I've already told you more than I heard. Do you know what I mean? Which makes perfect sense to me. You know, but can you trust people? If I come to you, David, and I say, listen, don't tell anybody, but wait till I tell you, Brenda puts her bra into the fridge.
Or,
stop! Well, no, you said it. Hang on, you're doing... No.
But it was a good joke.
It was, it's true though, yeah. No, but you know what I mean? Is it true, would you believe, that if you tell somebody something, well then... You can multiply that by at least two or four or eight or a factor.
I think it's very important to remember this axiom, and it's extremely important. Anyone who gossips to you will gossip about you.
Yes.
So it is a trust issue. How much can you really trust someone who spreads any kind of malicious or inappropriate gossip or rumors? I'm not talking about the trivia. And the day-to-day realities. Did you hear that Brenda has a new grandson, for example? That's wonderful and nice, and we want to share those kind of good news. Did you hear that so-and-so's mother died last week? You know, there's no harm in any of this. But when it's taking people's dignity away away,
that's not a good
thing.
It's
vicious. And you can be sure if someone is doing that, telling you that sort of stuff, they'll also do it about you.
I remember many years ago traveling to an outside broadcast with a colleague, good number of years ago, none of you know who it is, and all the way down I was asked, and what do you think of this, and who's that, and what do you think so-and-so, and would you do this, and did you know that, and what's that, and who's your, and did you know your man, and thing, blah, and I kept answering all these questions. And on the way back, I was saying, and I asked one, I said, because we passed by where this place, person's home place was in broad terms down the country, and I said, and you're from around here, where exactly are you from? And all they said was, over there, waving generally to kind of a 5 mile radius. Mm. And that was the only information I got out of that person. And they had grilled me for 3 hours on everything about when I started, where I was going, what I thought, who I liked, who I didn't like. Is that just a personality trait?
Well, that's the way to protect yourself, isn't it? Because as long as you're talking about someone else, no one gets a chance to ask you about yourself. And so if you have deep insecurities, or you're living with chronic fear about being revealed, or your self-esteem is on the floor, easiest way to deflect from all of that is to just keep talking about other people and tell story after story after story. Sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it's just plain good fun. But sometimes it's evil and rotten, and it sticks. And that old adage that sticks and stones will break my bones, but names, words or names will never hurt me, is a bunch of baloney. Because names do hurt. And stories that take people's dignity away or paint them in an incredibly negative way hurt people and can hurt people very badly in organizations. It could cost them their jobs.
It's true. You know, when you see it as starkly as that, it's a very salient point. Brenda?
Yeah, the last woman on the Vox Pop we played there was talking about how she had a bad gossip experience in work, and suddenly work was now a place you go in, you do the job, you go. Friendships and all that is gone. So when you have a situation where there's been salacious gossip about you, or you've been involved, or everything's turned sour, how do you recover from that? How do you get back on your feet and, I suppose, work in the environment again?
It takes a lot of courage, and some people can't recover from that. And depending on what's been said and how badly you've been damaged, you may never recover from that. So it can be quite hurtful. We've also neglected the other side of it, the productivity side. Whenever people are, crouching around the water cooler for a half hour at a time, productivity is decreasing. Some work isn't getting done. Isn't that true? I mean, it's just the way it is in an organization. So there's always an impact at multiple levels, even of benign gossip and very friendly gossip. If it goes on too long, some of the job isn't being done.
You mentioned that there's a lot of research being done into this area, and I know Dr. Leah Elwart from the University of Groningen in the Netherlands has been doing an awful lot. She says it can actually bond people together. But one of the things that I found fascinating to read was that people who talked too much tend to have less friends than those who don't.
Well, if you talk a lot about yourself, you're not going to create friendship bonds, because friendship is a very complex thing. Those of us who have good friends don't even think about it. But how do we establish a friendship? By asking questions. Hi, what's your name? Oh, I'm Angus. Hi, I'm David. Where do you work, Angus? I'm at RTE. What do you do? I'm a psychologist. I'm out in Still, Oregon. Really? Mm. That's an American accent I hear. Where are you from? It's questions and answers, and that builds acquaintanceships, which could go on to develop. Excuse me, I'm hoarse today.
No, there's plenty of water there.
Which can go on to become friendships. And so we have to have reciprocity in our communication between one person and another. We need to ask questions. We need to respond to the answer that we receive. And if you're only talking about yourself, you're not giving another person a chance to talk about themselves. So you're not going to build a genuine acquaintanceship, and therefore it can't mature into a friendship.
Can I move this a bit sideways? I'm just thinking now, a lot of people are finding themselves under financial pressure at the moment. The bills are mounting all the time. We're hearing about the services going up, the electricity charges, heating, all of that kind of stuff. People with ordinary foodstuffs. So, I mean, you're seeing people, I'm sure, in your practice, in your clinic, who are really finding it very tough. How do people best cope? What advice would you have for people just to get through and to keep their spirits up when it's really, really tough?
Well, if you have a good friend or you have a partner at home, you need to talk and share, because it's very hard for one person to go through these experiences in isolation. It's too much of a burden, because the rest of life is ticking away at you as it is. So it's the children needing food, and the dog poops on the floor, and you spill the milk, and the car needs petrol, et cetera, et cetera. Communication and being able to ask someone to help share the burden. And we do that by talking about ourselves a little bit.
And for people who found themselves losing their jobs, which is happening all too regularly at the moment, how does one keep one's dignity when, perhaps without being stereotypical, that as the male, if you're meant to be the breadwinner or not or whatever, how do people keep their spirits up?
This is tough, because it's about bereavement, isn't it? Because to lose your job is a loss of a very significant attachment in your life at almost every level. It's status, it's prestige, no matter what the job is, it's paid employment. So it confers upon us dignity. The commerce that gives us that dignity and transfers it is the paycheck, of course, not to be diminished. You lose your job, you lose some status in your own eyes. And then you become worried that someone else will begin to devalue yourself. I don't think it's entirely accurate to think that men are particularly and uniquely susceptible to this. But in Western society, in the traditional family structure, the male has been the breadwinner. But the pain inflicted on the women of the household by the loss of the male, the loss of the male's job, is not to be diminished, because it puts further pressure on them. It's worry, worry, worry. Mm. And still you have to care for the children. And somehow you have to care for each other. And it's the little things in life that can whittle us down like wind eroding a stone until there's very little left to give sometimes. And you still have to give to yourself and to others.
Well, as I was saying to Fiona McCausland yesterday, we were talking about a book she's written on, I suppose, a guide if you are in that invidious position of having to separate or to divorce, and how best to try and do it in the best possible way to look after your children, to look after the finance, whatever. And the one thing we were talking about is the importance of communication. And it seems to me that that also is critically important in a relationship now, if people are finding themselves under stress.
Yeah, I said it before, we are social human beings. Mm. We were not meant to live in isolation. So powerfully social is the human brain that we cannot conceive of an isolated person. Even the hermit needs a community to withdraw from.
Okay, and how best, just finally, David, thank you so much, how best should Brenda cope with the need to put her underwear in the fridge? David Gary,
thank you very much.
It was a brilliant one.
Psychologist at the Owen Connolly Counselling Centre in Still, Oregon. Thank you very much. A definition of gossip, by the way, somebody says, a rumour or talk of a personal sensation or intimate nature, a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumours or facts, trivial chatty talk or writing. Men talking about politicians or footballers hardly qualifies as gossip. It's discussion, debate, and it's only banter.